Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zichru Shabbos Daf Kuf Hey. This is a very big day here in Zichru. We're now crossing the 500 Inyanim mark. 500 topics are now organized in our mind, Daf by Daf, from the very beginning of Masechus Brachos to where we are right now, using Simanim and retained and reviewed. So it's a great achievement. Everybody should feel a tremendous sense of satisfaction. We should all continue to grow Mechayel Echayel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings several instances of the Torah using abbreviations, Lashon Notrikon. One example is Rabbi Yochanan said the word Anochi from the Aseres Hadibros is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Ksivas Yahavis. I myself wrote and gave the Torah. The Rabban said Anochi is an acronym for Amira Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva. A pleasant statement was written and given. And some say that Anochi should be expanded backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amanim Amareo. It was given in writing, reliable art statements. Point number two, Rabbi Abin initially suggested that tearing a garment in anger could also be considered an act of misakin, a rectifying act, and could make one liable to ka'avid nachas ruach yitzro, since he's satisfying his yitzhahara by cooling off his anger. The Gemara challenges this notion based on a bright set states, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that one who in anger tears his garment or utensils or scatters his money should be in your eyes as one who is being Ovid Avodah Zorah, who's serving idolatry, for this is the way of the Yetzer. Today tells him, do this, and the next day it tells him, do this, until it tells him to serve Avodah Zorah, and he goes ahead and serves it. So we see from here, tearing one's clothes in anger is not a constructive act, because it increases the strength of the Yetzer. So the Gemara concludes that tearing one's garment could only be considered a constructive act in a case where the person is not inwardly angry, but is displaying anger to strike fear on the members of his household. And point number three, the Gemara addresses the importance of mourning good and wise people. It was said in the name of Bar Kapara, Kol Amori Demos Al Adam Kasher Akadosh Baruch Hu Sofrim Menichim Bebeis Ganazav. Anyone who sheds tears for an upright person, Akadosh Baruch Hu counts them and places them in his storehouse. It was said in the name of Rav, Kol Misatzel Behesped O Shel Chacham Ruul Kovu Bechayav. Anyone who acts lazily over giving a hesped for a chacham, a eulogy for a chacham, is fit to be buried alive. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara brings several instances of the Torah using abbreviations, Lashon Notrikon. An example is, Rabbi Yochanan said the word Anochi from the Aseres Hadibros is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Ksivas Yahavis. I myself wrote and gave the Torah. The Rabban said Anochi is an acronym for Amir Ne'ima Ksiva Yehiva. A pleasant statement was written and given. And some say that Anochi should be expanded backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amanim Amareo. It was given in writing, reliable art statements. Point number two, Rabbi Avin initially suggested that tearing a garment in anger could be considered an act of masakin, a rectifying act, and could make one liable to ka'avi nachas ruach yitzro, since he's satisfying his yitzhahara by cooling off his anger. The Gemara challenges this notion based on a brace that states in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that one who in anger tears his garment or utensils or scatters his money should be in your eyes as one is performing a avodah zorah, for this is the way the yitzhahara. Today it tells him, do this, and the next day it tells him, do this, until it tells him to serve Avodah Zorah, and he goes ahead and serves it. So we see from here, tearing one's clothes in anger is not a constructive act, because it increases the strength of the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara concludes that tearing one's garment in anger is only constructive in a case where the person is not inwardly angry, but is displaying anger to strike fear on the members of his household. And point number three, the Gemara addresses the importance of mourning good and wise people. It was said in the name of Bar Kapara, Kol Amori Demos Al Adam Kasher Akadosh Baruch Hu Sofran Umenichim Bebeis Ganazav. Anyone who sheds tears for an upright person, Akadosh Baruch Hu counts them and places them in his storehouse. It was said in the name of Rav, Kol Misatzel Behesped O Shel Chacham Ruul Kovu Bechayav. Anyone who acts lazily over giving a eulogy, a hesped for a chacham, is fit to be buried alive. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Hey, and we had a lot of interesting suggestions. The number one suggestion was actually Kahoot, the game we play here in Zichru, but I just don't know if it's going to be around 7 years or 14 years or 21 years, so I want to do something that's more endearing. We had Kahas, we had Kahati, we had Kihila, but I don't want to get mixed up with the minion of Yidden. We had Kofs, we had songs like Karibon, Kalexup, Kanein Ohora, people, kids in Kahoots, and then some people switched around. They went backwards. They said hockey, hiccups. And actually, I'm going to go with a backward suggestion. It was very popular, which was hacker, a hacker. So we're actually going to go with a backwards one, in this case, Kuf Hey. It's going to be a hacker. Someone suggested a Russian hacker, but he didn't put his name. But we're going to use a hacker, okay? So that's going to be our sim for Kuf Hey hacker. It's going to be a backwards sim in this case. So here goes. The Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger and mourned the loss of wise people that would have been able to tell them. Once again, in slow motion. The Russian hackers, that means we're on Daf Kuf Hey. The Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, which reminds us the Gemara brings several instances of the Torah using abbreviations, Lashon Notrikon. One example is Rabbi Yochanan said the word Anochi from the Aseres Hadibros is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Ksivas Yahavis, I myself wrote and gave the Torah. The Rabban said Anochi is an acronym for Amir Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva, a pleasant statement was written and given. Some say that Anochi should be expounded backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amanim Amarel, it was given in writing, reliable are its statements. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger, which reminds us Rabbi Avin initially suggested that tearing the garment in anger is also an act of Mesakin, a rectifying act, and could make one liable. The Ka'avid Nachas Ruach Yitzro, since he's satisfying his Yetzohara by cooling off his anger. The Gemara challenges this notion based on a brace that states, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that one who in anger tears his garment or utensils or scatters his money should be in your eyes as one who is serving a Avodah Zorah, for this is the way of the Yetzohara. Today it tells him, do this, the next day it tells him, do this, until it tells him to serve a Avodah Zorah, and he goes ahead and serves it. We see from here, tearing one's clothes in anger is not a constructive act, because it increases the strength of the Yetzohara. So the Gemara concludes that tearing one's garment is only constructive in a case where the person is not inwardly angry, but he's displaying his anger to strike fear on the members of his household. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger and mourned the loss of wise people that would have been able to tell them. Which reminds us, the Gemara addresses the importance of mourning good and wise people. It was said in the name of Bar Kapara, Kol Mori Demaz Adam Kasher Kosh Baruch Hu, Sofran Umanichim Bebeis Ganazav. Anyone who sheds tears for an upright person, a Kosh Baruch Hu, he counts them and places them in a storehouse. It was said in the name of Rav, Kol Misatzel Behespedo Shel Chochem, Ruil Kover Bechayev. Anyone who acts lazy over giving a hesped for a Chochem is fit to be buried alive. So once again, the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger and mourned the loss of wise people that would have been able to tell them. All right, now it's time for Four Bla Ba Chazara. Daf Kufalf. So the symbol for Kufalf is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller who could only carry his cawing raven. Bird caller and a cawing raven, that means we're on Daf Kufalf. The bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Dalad Amos in the small boat from Meshon, which reminds us, Rav Huna said that in the small boats of Meshon, which was a small river that only small boats could go on, one may only carry Dalad Amos because they have the status of a Carmelis. These boats were wide at the top but narrowed to a point like a canoe at the bottom, and since the bottom was not four tefachim wide, its walls lose their status as legal partitions, as mechitzos, and the walls above are considered a mechitza tzuya, a suspended wall, which is not considered a legal partition. Therefore, the boat is considered a Carmelis and not a Rosh Hashayachid. Rav Huna continues that the boat would have the status of Rosh Hashayachid if the four tefachim width of the walls was within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, which would raise the base of the ship through the principle of Lovet. Alternatively, says Rav Huna, one could fill the base of his boat with reeds and willow branches until the point where the boat widens to four tefachim. So the bird caller, who could only carry his cawing raven Dalad Amos in the small boat's formation, failed to turn it into a Rosh Hashayachid by extending its walls downwards, which reminds Rav Nachman challenged Rav Huna, suggesting that the principle of good achiz mechitzasa, extending the walls downward, should apply, which legally extends the walls of the boat down to the ground below so that they are not legally considered suspended. Since the top of the boat's width is four tefachim wide, the principle of good achiz would extend the walls down at that width, giving the boat a status of Rosh Hashayachid and not a Carmelis. So the bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Dalad Amos in the small boats from Meshon, failed to turn it into Rosh Hashayachid by extending its walls downwards, so he made an Erev together with another boat. Which reminds us, Rasafa clarifies that in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis that stated that it's permitted to carry between ships that are tied together was referring to a case where the ships have different owners, and the Mishnah is coming to teach that it's permitted to make an Erev. The Gemara brings a brisa to support Rav Safa that states that in the case of two ships tied together, their owners may make an Erev and carry between the boats. If the boats were to be separated, then the Erev would be negated. If they are once again tied together, whether inadvertently, deliberately, unwillingly, or accidentally, then the Erev is automatically reestablished and it is permitted to carry between them. Daf Kuf Beis. So the symbol for Kuf Beis is a caveman. So here goes. The caveman, that means we're on Daf Kuf Beis. The caveman who remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, which reminds us. The final admission in the Perek states that if one threw an object and then remembered it was Shabbos after it left his hand but before it landed, and another person caught it, or a dog caught it, or it got murdered before it landed, he's putter from bringing a chattis. Similarly, if one threw an object with the intent to injure a person or an animal, which he would then be liable for causing a bruise on Shabbos, and then remembered it was Shabbos after it left his hand, he is pater. The Mishnah concludes with a call that Kol chai v'chatzas ein chayovin ad shidei tchilasim v'sof in shkaga. All who are liable for a chatzas are not liable unless the beginning and the completion of their action was done b'shogeg. So the caveman remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, carried it back to the cave two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and two amos b'shogeg. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas amoraim in a case where one transports an object two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and then two amos b'shogeg. Rava says he's pater, whereas Rava says he is chayiv. Just one point of correction here from yesterday. The Gemara concludes that there is no argument, and Rava and Rava are discussing two different cases. Rava says that in the case where one carries the object, he's pater, and even according to Rav Gamliel, who holds ein yedil chetzi shir, there is no awareness for a half measure, and therefore two half measures combined to make one chayiv. This principle only applies in a case where one wrote one letter b'shogeg, became aware of his sin, and then wrote a second letter b'shogeg. Since the second letter was also written b'shogeg, Rav Gamliel holds that he's liable. In our case, though, the person is completing the four amos b'mezid, and therefore he is not liable for a chatas. Rava says that in a case where the person threw the object, he is liable, and even the Rabbanan who hold of yesh yadiyat l'chatzishir would say he is liable. In the case of the writing, the writer was in control in choosing to write the second letter. Therefore, his forgetting that in Shabbos renders the writing a separate act, and the two writings do not combine to make him chayiv. Here, however, in the case of throwing the object, he's no longer in control of retrieving the object, and therefore the entire transfer is regarded as one act b'shogeg. So the caveman remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, carried it back to the cave two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and two amos b'shogeg to seal a small hole in his wall. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the parak of Habona states that one is liable for the malacha of Bona for building if he builds even a kolshu, even a minimal amount. The Gemara asks, what use is building a minimal amount? And after rejecting two answers, concludes with the opinion of Achabar Yaakov, who said that someone with a large home who has a hole in the wall will seal it with clay. And a similar thing was done in the construction of the Mishkan when a craftsman would pour molten lead into a small hole in a beam that a worm had bored. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. And I'm actually going to do a bit of a fix here. I wasn't so happy with the Simon. And then I got input from a group of Zichru members from Woodmere, New York. They actually like to be known as the Woodmere Warriors of Zichru. I want to thank these Woodmere Warriors for their change here. So the Simon now is going to be the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging it on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel, showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails to spell Shem instead of Shimon. So once again, in slow motion. The goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel. Yerushalmi Kugel, that means we're on Daf Kuf Gimel. The goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel, which reminds us in the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, where Shimon Gamliel stated, the one who strikes with a hammer on an anvil while working is chayiv because he is like one who improves the work he is doing. The Gemara seeks to understand what act is he doing that makes him liable and brings up Bai and Rav who both say, that banging a hammer on an anvil is considered a malacha, as this is what those who pounded the sheets of gold did for the Mishkan. Rashi explains that after every three strikes on the sheet done to thin them, the smiths would strike once on an anvil to ensure the surface of the hammer remained smooth and would not puncture the sheets. He adds that coin manufacturers in his own locales did this. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that one who writes two letters with either his right or left hand is chayiv. The Gemara asks why one is chayiv for writing with his left hand since it's not the normal manner for writing. Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests that the mission is referring to a left-handed person, but this is rejected because then he should not be liable for writing with his right hand. So Abai answers that the mission is dealing with an ambidextrous person. The Rif asks, why then is this Mishnah obvious? He explains that Abai is referring to someone who favors one hand but is somewhat proficient with the other. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Yaakov's daughter, said the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosu, who said that one who writes two letters is chayiv because of making a roshem, a marking. Since making mere marks can be done perfectly well with the left hand, it is a normal manner to also use one's left hand, and therefore he is chayiv. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails to spell Shem instead of Shimon. Which reminds us, in the same mission regarding the Malach of Ksiva writing, Rebuta states that we find a short word that is part of a long word, such as Shem from Shimon or Shmuel, Noach from Nachor, Dan from Daniel, and Gad from Gadiel. Rashi explains Rebuta is coming to teach that even though the writer did not complete the word he intended, he is chayiv if the letters he wrote comprise a short word. Gemara asks how one can be chayiv for writing Shem from Shimon, since the mem from Shem is closed, it's Sasim, and the mem from Shimon is open. As Pesuch Rav Chissa says that this teaches that if a sofer wrote a closed letter as an open letter, it is valid. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Simra Kuf Dalet is codes. Here goes. To crack the code, that means run Daf Kuf Dalet. To crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, which reminds us, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that young students came to the base of Midrash and said things the likes of which were not even said in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun regarding the meaning and shape of the letters of the all base. For example, Aleph and base stand for Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalet stands for Gomel Dalim, help the needy. The leg of the Gimel in the Sefer Torah is extended specifically towards the Dalet because it's the way of the one who bestows kindness to run after Dalim. The leg of the Dalet is extended towards the Gimel to teach that the poor person should make himself available to his benefactor and not make him chase after him. And the skipping Samach Ayin stands for Smoch Anim, support the poor. And another explanation is Simanim Asi B'Tor Ukneosa, make Simanim for the Torah and acquire it. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words emes and sheker, which reminds us, the student said the reason why the letters of sheker are juxtaposed and the letters of emes are spread out is to teach shikra shchiach, falsehood is common, while kushta lo shchiach, truth is not common. The Maharal explains that sheker is always close at hand, but emes is hard to come by. The students also explain that the reason why the letters of sheker stand on one leg, meaning the letters Shin, Kuf, and Resh all have one small base at the bottom, whereas the letters of Emes are set like bricks, meaning Aleph, Mem, and Tav, have either a two-sided base or a wide base, is to teach that Emes stands while Sheker cannot. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker and then choose the right letter to complete a sefer. Which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tanna of Braisa that taught that if someone wrote one letter and thereby completed a sefer, and Rashi says it's one of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh, or wove one thread and thereby completed a garment, he's chayev. Rabbi Rav Huna said it's Rabbi Eliezer, who says in the later Mishnah that one is chayev if he adds a thread to a previously worn garment. Rav Ashi says the Braisa could even be according to the Rabbanan, who exempt a person from adding one thread, because completing a garment or a book is different because it's considered a significant amount. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn that striking a hammer on an anvil is a malacha? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn the meaning behind the various osios of the Aleph base? That's on daf Kuf Dal. Great. Number 3, which daf do we have machlokas regarding how to draw water onto a ship? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn the one is chai for boni, even for a kol shahu? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Great. Number 5. Which daf do we learn why a rosh hashanah rabim is 16 amos? That's on daf Tzadites. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn the different meaning behind the abbreviation of Anochi? That's on daf Kuf Hei. Great. Number 7. Which daf do we learn the one is chai for writing with the left or right hand, provided that he is proficient in both hands? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Great. Number 8. Which daf do we have a case where one walks 2 amos b'shogeg, 2 amos b'mezid, and then 2 amos b'shogeg? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a question whether tearing a garment out of anger can be masakin? That's on daf Kuf Hei. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that the small boats of Meshon have a din of a Carmelis and one can only walk Dal and Amos? That's on daf Kuf Aleph. Great. Now we go to 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that there are 3 reasons why one should not go into a churva, into a ruin? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about the various tefillahs of the Tanaim and the Amoraim? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that the earliest time that one sings Kriya Shema B'Shachris is when he can recognize his friend from Dalet Amos away? That's on daf Tes. Good. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldberg from Zichron Yeshiva. A great day and great learning.